Our text for this morning, dear fellow Christians, comes from that gospel lesson that we heard earlier. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you deserve." And her daughter was healed immediately. This then is our text. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. I guess I'm going to do just a little bit of what our seminary teaches us, a little prolegomena, the goings-on before the main event of our text this morning. You see, Jesus was in Gennesaret and left there for the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, the importance of this is really quite stark. You see, he was leaving a place of much greater population and greater goings-on, more for the country and that relaxed feeling that he always got when he was far away from the crowds. Possibly he was leaving to this place of region of Tyre and Sidon from his work at the feeding of the 5,000. It immediately follows in all Gospels. So we kind of think that it probably was the truth. Now, how far away was he from that feeding? We're not real sure, but we can imagine that it was at least a day's travel, maybe two. And where he was exactly at the moment of our text is really quite uncertain. However, it is known that Tyre and Sidon refer to sections of Syrophoenicia. And that was an area where Gentiles lived. It was an area that was sometimes very dangerous to walk in, but it was mainly made up of Greeks and the Gentiles. As the 13 passed along, and we're talking about the 12 apostles and Jesus, as they passed along, there was a woman who came to them crying out and begging for mercy. Note that it was not the 12, but the Son of David that was being addressed. What did she say? She said, "O Lord, hear me, Son of David." What does that indicate to you? Of course, it indicates that, well, this woman was a little bit understanding of the Jewish faith. She had heard about Jesus and his miracles. And now she wasn't interested in the 12. She was interested only in her Lord, Jesus Christ. Her child was suffering from demon possession, and Jesus had in the past driven out demons from those who were so affected. How would this woman really know him? Well, when it was said in our text, a Canaanite woman, this was used to remind listeners, the 12 and any of those who were there, that, well, it was the Lord who brought the people out of Israel. It was Joshua who led them across the Jordan River. And it was the nation Israel who had failed God's commandment. They did not kill all the Canaanites. There were some left, and they grew to fill this region of Sidon and Tyre. Canaanite was used to remind then those who were around him of this event. We also know that we're told in Matthew, again in chapter 4, that Jesus' fame spread throughout all the land. and brought him, those who heard him about him, brought him all their sick and their diseased and afflicted with various diseases and pains. And those who were affected by demons. Those having seizures and paralytics. And he healed them all. Surely the word has gotten around to this part of the Mediterranean that Jesus was a healer. That he was on God's side, or rather God was on his side. And thus she was drawn to Jesus Christ to help her daughter who was so possessed by demons. This wasn't the first time that demons were chucked out of people. Now, what was the apostles' response to this woman? They said, it's quite irritating, this Roman woman calling out to us, crying out to us. Send her away, Jesus. Gosh, I think there's probably little apostles in all of us, don't you? A lot of times, if we know about a person's background and how they've lived their lives, it's kind of like, well, I would evangelize, but I really don't like this person. I wish they'd just go away. It therefore interrupts our practice of stewardship and the evangelical ideals that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Go into all the world. And yet, we still have our prejudices and, we like to point fingers. We don't have time for this demon thing going on with this woman and her daughter. Why, her daughter isn't even here. So why is she crying out to us? The disciples do not want to hear her crying out to them. I think it's very interesting to note that the text in the English Standard Version says that she is crying out after them. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's kind of like the riots that are going on right now. When they find their object that they want to taunt, they don't just come from behind and taunt them. They come to their side, in their face, behind them, all angles, to scream and holler their message. And this is the way the woman was. She wasn't behind them crying out. She was crying out after them. So she could have been in many locations around the 12 and Jesus when she was crying out. And still the disciples were saying, we really don't need this bothersome woman. This then brought Jesus to respond to the woman. First, he said not a word. It was just like he was ignoring her. And there's been many sermons preached on the effect that Jesus did not want to have anything to do with her until she showed him his faith, which is not the truth. That is not the purpose that Jesus was doing. He explained it to us in the next part of the verse. And he said, I have come for the children of Israel first. And I'm sure that probably fell on deaf ears around the 12 and the Syrophoenician woman. It probably fell on deaf ears because they weren't quite understanding yet what Jesus was talking about. He was a Jew. And God had told him that his mission in this life was to first call out the Jews and give them their salvation if they would only believe in God's Son that he had sent. When the man in the book of John came to Jesus and came down, and Jesus called him down to him and asked him to be able to heal his son. The man came easily. His faith brought him forward. And his son was at the point of death, and Jesus healed him. And then you remember that he healed the centurion's family. And when he appealed to Jesus, Jesus responded that he had not seen such faith in the nation of Israel. He marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you," he said, "of this centurion, this Gentile, this person that they want to have nothing to do with also, no one in Israel have I found such faith as this man has shown. I was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel," Jesus says. He wasn't trying to play hard to get. He was not causing the woman to overcome him with some great show of faith that he would just be unable not to do what she asked. But rather, he was placing the confession that he had in front of her, explaining that it was the nation of Israel, it was the nation of Jews that came first in his mission, if she would only understand that. Let us not throw bread to the dogs from the table. And of course, the table that Jesus was talking about was a table of faith. The faith in the one true God. The faith in Him as a Redeemer of the world. Let us not throw bread to the dogs. Now, you have to understand, too, that there are two types of dogs running around in this area. One was the Oriental dog, who was a nasty creature. He ran from place to place. He had no owner. And they were generally fairly mean because they scavenged anything they could find. And believe me, the last place you would see one of these Oriental dogs was in a house. And even more so, around a table where food was. Because you know what they would do. They'd be on the table eating the food that they could scavenge, and anybody that tried to stop them would receive the snarls and growls and bites that this kind of dog would give. Now, I didn't know this. I've preached on this probably three or four times during my ministry. And I never really realized that that was the case until I started looking up the word for dogs. And it wasn't this Oriental dog that they were talking about, but it was a puppy, a little dog. One that was found in the house. One that the masters kept as pets. And that is what the Syrophoenician woman was saying. Even their pets eat the crumbs that fall from the table. They are not in want. Brothers and sisters, we are like the little dogs. We surround the table that will be partaking Christ's own body and blood in just a few minutes. And the crumbs that we receive from the table, the host and the wine, energize us, feed us, sustain us, and let us know that God loves us, all of us, that He wants to share His own Son to redeem us, to purchase back the sins that we have done. Those that we have done openly and those that we have done in hidden places. So we've discussed what the dogs were, and the little dogs refer to us of some faith but we're just mainly showing up because we can. This shows the connection between the nation of Israel and this Gentile woman. She is something that happened in children's worst dreams. Those terrible Canaanites. And yet here is God beginning to answer a question. Here is God who begins answering our question. Are we worthy enough to be fed at least the crumbs from the table? And God overwhelmingly says, yes. You confessed and believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. And because of this confession, hopefully coming from your heart, you can approach the table and receive the crumbs from the table. And they will save you. And they will build you up in faith so that you might go through your days ahead with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. Not the work of your hands, not the money in your wallet, but rather Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, He prompts you each and every day to live those words of our Ten Commandments. That we not only satisfy God as best we can, but we also know what our relationship is to others. That we are to love even the Phoenician woman. We are to love her as we love ourselves. And then when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for that very same enemy turned saint with us through their faith. Jesus' words are meant for not only the Syrophoenician woman, but for you and I as we leave the table today. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly, as you will be when you receive the Lord's Supper. Amen. Amen.